start the discussion anyway on House amendments to Senate Bill number 79. Senator Juneau, would you like to go through what you're wishing to have happen here and why?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And do we need, in this process for free conference, do we need to move the bill and then the amendments? Is there a, what, help me on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Juneau, I think any motion starts the discussion, so.
Okay. I move pass on Senate Bill 79, Mr. Chairman, and there is amendments.
Okay. Senator Juneau?
Chairman, I have amendments prepared that I think Representative Sands, the last place where this bill was over in the House Human Services Committee, and there were some concerns on the bill and amendments made. So if I could ask Representative Sands to help on the amendments, that'd be great. And I think
okay.
Sue
yeah.
can
Representative
help.
Sands.
Actually, the problem came on the floor, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, was where we started really looking. There were problems in the committee, but since I had missed the committee, I think I wasn't there for the committee, and they assigned me to carry the bill on the floor, which made it even more interesting because trying to understand Section 2, particularly this language about in a county that has a population of 20,000, if the community is less than 1,500, was somewhat confusing. And then Representative Bean brought up the last part of that phrase being a bit of a problem, that saying that they had to take the patient to the near to the healthcare facility in that county made no sense, because in a number of these counties for these really rural services, the closest place to go was in somebody else's county. And so we agreed to pass bill, but reject the, we had to ask for free conference committee in order to go back and deal with language that wasn't the language put on by the House, but the language put on by the Senate. So that's why we asked for a free conference committee to do that. And then I'd ask Ms. O'Connell to draft these amendments to try to address that problem, and perhaps she could address the drafting, although it seems pretty self-explanatory. But
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Sands explained it quite well. I think the purpose of the amendments was twofold, to kind of just clean up some of that language so it's really clear about coming from a community with 1,500 residents or less, just to make that language a little bit more clear, and then to change the fact that the patient would have to be taken to a hospital in that county, but instead to the nearest one that could meet their medical needs. And it was exactly that process that amendment was put in the Senate, so that's why the Senate had to reject the House amendments and ask for a free conference committee. Because you weren't dealing with the House amendments, the problem was really with amendments from earlier action.
Okay, Senator.
Okay, so I'll move Senate Amendment SB00790.2.ASO. And I guess then the question is, for everyone here, is that clear? Is it clear? Does it address those two problems?
Senator Juneau.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have Mr. Dettine here from EMS. EMS. And I thought that if there's any questions, I think in terms of the impacts in this bill, we might be able to, without objection, ask him if we're meeting what the concerns were of the different groups that had questions on it, just to make sure we're clear.
Yes, sir. Do you have any, if you have anything to add here, why, just step right up to a mic and we'd be glad to hear from you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Jim Dettine with the Department of Public Health and Human Services, and we're the agency of licensing services. So I just looked at the amendment just now. I'm trying to go through the what.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a concern of mine with the previous language about transporting within the county, and that has fixed that. Have a question about interpreting population according to what source. As I tried to do the what ifs and look at communities, there's a couple of them that are 1,420, 1,450. I don't know if that's, from my standpoint of interpreting the law and having to administer it, I have a, just a question on which okay. population source we would use.
Okay.
But I think you've really cleaned this up a lot.
Let me ask any of the House members, maybe Representative Becker, what was the House attempting to get to with its amendments?
Chairman and members, we got a lot of testimony from regular emergency departments or emergency services and fire services who were very concerned about the non-emergency medical transports and limiting that to one EMT and one medical driver. There's a lot of concern about that. So what we attempted to do with the amendment we put in was we saw the problem was that in rural areas they've been having to ask for an extension every 6 months or an exception so that they can operate with one and one. And that's what we wanted to limit this bill to, so we weren't expanding. So we wanted to make sure that it was understood that we were dealing with the primarily voluntary services that needed that exception. We wanted to make it a permanent exemption. And that was the goal of our amendments, was to cover that situation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that was pretty consistent with the internal intention, at least, of the Senator Leibel and myself as we worked through that those seven bills, was to try to address the issue that in a lot of the really rural communities, they don't have a lot of people to draw on so that they can't really have two people who have the higher EMT training. So making a provision for that. And I know that was a problem for, I don't know if I want to say it, I think firefighters or some other people who've been getting paid to do it had a little bit of objection, and that's why we were trying to make it be really volunteer services in really rural areas that we were addressing.
Yeah. Representative.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, committee members, the issues that I needed that, you know, to have concerns on, stuff that that you guys took care of, was the point that I wanted to make sure that in an, you know, even in a non-emergency situation, is that we had somebody that was qualified, even though EMTs are hard to come by, and I just at least wanted to know if at least they were first responders or had advanced CPR first aid training, and that's one of the qualifications that I was requesting in the bill.
See, we heard with the interim committee putting this together, I mean, we went through that issue for weeks. And, you know, I mean, we heard testimony that in cases they're deliberately breaking the law. Because if there's only one available and there's a car wreck out here, the guy in the car wreck would rather have one EMT than nobody. And, you know, you just, common sense has to prevail somewhere along the lines, too. So how far apart are we here, Senator Juneau or Representative Becker or whoever has an opinion?
Mr. Chairman, I said one of the things I think we're looking at just, I guess we're just on this amendment right now, on the discussion on this amendment, but you guys, the discussion has been also on the amendments that were made in the House. So that would be good to have, I think, the House members clarify them at some point, but I said maybe we need to discuss this amendment and then look back, ask the House members perhaps to share their why they made this and what a volunteer medical technician stuff is.
The amendments that we have before us, 7902, is to the bill as it came back from the House.
Yes, correct. Okay. And that, and Mr. Chairman, as I recall, I mean, the issue really wasn't, we didn't reject this and ask for a free conference committee because of this set of amendments put on. It was because of this language in new section 2 around the emergency medical services in those rural communities and where they would take the patient, as I recall it. that that was the only issue that we needed to have this committee address. Does anyone disagree with that?
That was the reason that we asked for a free conference committee. But in our asking for a free conference committee to fix that one part, I don't know whether the Senate actually considered the House's amendments. And so that still would have to be, like, if you decided that you didn't want the House amendments, that would be another issue, I believe, which we could handle here.
Yeah, a free conference committee can do that.
But that would have to be something I think you as senators would have to decide if you liked the House amendments.
And, Mr. Chairman, that was one of the things I said, perhaps, do we need to act on this first set of amendments and then go back and ask these folks why they did this, and since the bill is open.
Well,
yes. I think it might be.
I would like to ask why this amendment was put on.
Speaking on the amendment, I like the language, especially the first part on that, speaking on the 7902 ASO. I like the non-emergency ambulance transport and volunteer EMT. And that's pretty much what you were talking about there before, Senator.
Yes.
And this covers my concerns, and I'm happy with this. I have no problem with this.
Yes, sir.
If I can just offer one additional comment that I think it's on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
7902 didn't, on the last page, it didn't have the language on Section 2 that says an emergency medical service that is staffed primarily by volunteer emergency medical technicians. That was 7903. Sorry, looked like it was on. So now you've defined what a volunteer EMS service is by saying they primarily have volunteer EMTs. Then under paragraph 1 and paragraph 2 and paragraph 3, you're defining that volunteer EMS service can use one EMT for non-emergency transports, and then 2 and 3 tries to go through some machinations of the volunteer service in rural counties and urban counties, but a volunteer service doing emergency calls also with one EMT. So in the course of already defining that you have a volunteer EMS service under the first part of that paragraph of Section 2, instead of trying to say that they can do non-emergency transfers and emergency transfers, which is everything, it may simplify what you're trying to do by population kind of things in here, saying that that EMS service is staffed primarily by volunteer emergency medical technicians, may staff an ambulance with one EMT licensed at the EMT basic level or higher, and one driver for all calls. That's what you're saying in 1, 2, and 3. It would simplify the language. It would get away from this population thing, and it's effectively doing the same thing.
Sue?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not sure if that is correct, because subsection number 3 was added in the Senate, and it allows those transfers only. I mean, I guess you'd have to change subsection 3 if you wanted to do that, because it allows them to transport only if they're from a very small committee, a community. If you were in a county with a population of more than 20,000 residents and you were in a moderate-sized community of, say, 5,000 people, you wouldn't be able to staff at this level. That's what subsection 3 says. It limits the reduced staffing to just a very small subsection of small towns in large counties, highly populated counties. So it wouldn't necessarily apply to every ambulance service in there. And I think that you don't want it. I think my recollection in drafting the bill was that the interim committee did not want reduced staffing in counties where there was an ambulance company that had the staffing of availability to provide two EMTs.
Yeah, it was to be for fairly rare situations, but to avoid having somebody simply not give care because they couldn't find, you know, two people that had the legal qualifications. And so And we had one example given before the committee where a call came in and over in central Montana for an accident. There was one EMT in town at that moment. The rest of them were working, you know, having their jobs. So the EMT got the sheriff to drive the ambulance. The sheriff wasn't an EMT, but it's common sense applied to the situation. And so those are the kind of things. The other argument, of course, the communities that have paid EMTs, they wanted to make sure we weren't allowing these non-qualified amateurs to take any of their business. So, you know, there's a certain amount of turfism involved in all this, too. But we do need to make it for sure that the really rural spots are able to do the best they can do with what they've got, you know, without being hamstrung legally.
I have a question for those of you who are on the committee. I personally would like to take out any reference to non-emergency ambulance transports, but is that an issue that we're talking about? I mean, that was a big part of the discussion against the bill in our committee, because how can you be sure a non-emergency transport won't end up an emergency?
That was my scare.
But do the small towns who have the volunteer services that need this for emergency purposes, do they do non-emergency transports? Is that?
Yes.
Do we need this to cover that too?
Yeah, that's probably the primary reason for this bill is that the volunteer services are having trouble staffing. And the volunteer services, and especially the rural areas, are now having to transport their patients for diagnostic and simple things to hospitals that are hours away, and they're doing 2, 3, 4, 6-hour transfers. So that was probably the key part of this bill, is to give them the opportunity. Yes, it's administratively concerning about that patient may get worse in between, but at least gives them an opportunity to not take two of their people away from the community, but take one for that long transport that the patient just needs special care, but no special emergency medical care. So I think that's a key thing in this bill.
Then I would say I like the language that you were using, which didn't separate the type of transports out, but just covered them for all transports.
I did a list of the ambulance services in the counties of 20,000 or more, which was the hardest thing for me to figure out in here. And so you can see by the population that I took with the 1,500, the ones that are in or out with the 1,500 population, you can decide. There's only a few of them that were close to, like, Billings, Laurel, and close to Missoula that are 1,600 population or more. One was 6,000. But the 1,500 was inserted so you didn't eliminate a whole bunch of those there and that yellow that would have been eliminated in the first version of the bill.
Senator Juneau?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, and a question for Ms. Representative Becker then. Am I hearing you? You want the issue of non-emergency taken out? And then I think I heard that from the EMS director that no, we should leave it in. I mean, that's the purpose of the bill, is non-emergency transport, and so I'm a little...
Okay, let me give a little more history. I think we need to leave it in, based on what Mr. Duquesne said, for the volunteer.
Okay.
The big problem was when the bill originally came to us, it said that non-emergency transports, wherever, could be staffed by one person. And that's where we got all the objection in committee, because that meant what the people felt that were objecting to it was that people would set up private ambulance companies just to do non-emergency transports, staff them with one person, and there were a lot of, well, for example, fire departments that did the non-emergency transports with the two people, and that was their overtime. And I mean, it was a big, so what I was trying to do was make it clear that non-emergency transports by the entire state wasn't just one person. I wanted to just apply it to those volunteer services, the ones that we're talking about.
Well, Senator Leibel and Representative Sands had the most to do with this, but I think what you're describing is what we thought we did.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, that's what the bill does.
And I think that's what it does with all the amendments we now have on it, right?
Before we go any further, without objection, and if anybody does object, speak up. But Mr. Foster's here, who represents a very, very rural hospital, as well as the biggest urban hospital in the state. Mike, do you have any thoughts here that we should be considering at all?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Foster. I think this has been really interesting, and of course, I'm primarily thinking of the Harlowton Hospital, and the administrator of that hospital is an EMT himself, and he's the one who shared some stories with the interim committee, and I can't remember if he was able to make it for any of the session hearings, but as I look at this, my reaction to the gray bill, so to speak, is very positive. And I think it's one of those things where, is it perfect? I don't know. But I do know that based on what I see here, I look at it and I think, well, it's worth a try. And I think that I think it's a vast improvement to the current situation. And if there are some problems between now and the next session, you'll hear about them. And Children and Families Interim Committee will hear about them. And Mr. Chairman, I see this as, why not give this a try?
Now, okay, now a question for Sue then. The gray bill is what? The gray bill is with this amendment or not?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, yes, the gray bill, which is really kind of a in-color bill, shows you how that amendment would be worded in it, and all of the changes for the most part are in subsection 3. And so the amendment that Representative Becker was talking about earlier about making sure that this applies only to volunteer EMS agencies, that's the amendment that the House committee put on the bill and that was approved in the House.
And that's in?
That's in there already, but it's not in color, so the changes are what you see in color.
Okay. Representative Sands.
Mr. Chairman, a couple questions perhaps Mr. Duteen can answer, because, one of them is, we talk about it's one EMT at the basic level or higher, but also one driver trained in the operation of emergency vehicles. So this isn't just anybody off the street. Can you talk about who is a driver operation of emergency vehicles?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sands, there is no standard for that. I anticipate that our office will come up with some rule or to declare what that is, so there isn't anybody just off the street.
Like sheriff, law enforcement people, probably those kind of people.
I haven't thought it through, honestly, but I've just contemplated and tried to find it because we're going to get asked the question.
And the second follow-up on that in response to Representative Hendricks' question, how often does, right now there are doing this non-emergency transport, how often do they have a crisis happen in the middle of that? It's not very often, is it? I mean, it's possible, of course.
But. We just don't know. My gut is worried about it, but I think I agree with Mr. Foster. We need to try it. We'll track it. My gut has a lot of worries about this. We're stepping back a little bit, but also patients have to have some patient care rather than no patient care waiting for two. So I agree that we need to take a look, very close look at it, and watch and come back next session if we really did. I don't think we've done anything really, really bad, but if we need to tweak it, we may have to do that. But I would prefer to go forward and watch it really close and deal with it as best we can until the next session if we have to.
Okay, Representative Hendrick is next, and then Senator Leibel.
Okay, maybe you might be able to answer this question for me. You know, my main concern that I have is, I live in the rural areas, and we're considered the frontier areas. That's 5,000 and below population. And for us to get the volunteers, it's the luckiest thing we can do. And, of course, we train all our volunteers as much as we can. And the point that I'm trying to get at here is that, you know, that you had brought up that we're, or somebody had brought up that we're taking jobs away from somebody. Well, in our rural areas, it's not a job. It's all volunteer services. So this is really needed in the rural areas. So I concur with this bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rep. Hendricks, the people that spoke to that spoke for financial reasons, and I sort of took issue with that. I'm talking about patient care. That's my concern.
That's mine, too.
Your communities are rural. And a lot of services are cringe when we talk about this, and we need two people, especially for emergency calls. You can't do it with one. My answer to them is that this is not a required staffing. This is minimum staffing, so they can still, if they have the staff, take two or three or four people.
That's right.
And we as a State Department of Public Health will do everything we can to work on recruitment retention, which is the whole issue here, to make sure those communities do have more people if possible. So this is a good step to allow the lower staffing, doesn't require it, and let's try it, I think.
I agree.
Senator Leibel is next.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I mean, it appears that I just need some clarification, and I apologize for being late, but I had another meeting I was in. But this gray bill, for lack of a better term, as I understand it, is the original draft of the bill plus which amendment, plus this 7902?
And this one. And this
with
one.
Both of them.
This is the one we've just moved.
That's the one we just moved.
Put on in the House.
So this was put on in the House. So that's what the bill came in. That's included in here, which I can see, and then plus this added on to it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Leibel, that's correct, and those amendments are actually on an amendment that was put on in the Senate.
Okay, because this actually appears that was the intent when the bill was drafted. So, all right.
Okay, I'm thinking that what we're dealing with then is the gray bill. And if we accept it, that will be our free conference committee report, right?
With the amendment.
Yeah, well, yes. Are you ready to vote on the amendment?
Question.
Question's been called on Amendment 7902. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, it's carried unanimously. And now we're to the bill as it is, as the gray bill. Is there discussion on the motion?
Question.
Question has been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, motion carried. You're a good committee. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the hard work from the House side, too. That was some good work. That was some good work.
Thank you.
That was some good work. That was some good work.
Thank you.